We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Excellent. Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. We're so glad to have you today. Look at somebody and say, hey, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you. Glad that you're here. My name is Chris Fluitt, and we are not a mega church, but a mighty church in Plano, Texas. Again, thank you everybody finding us online on a podcast. However you found us, we're so glad that you did. We are in the third week of our message series, Chill Christmas. Last week, we talked about how to navigate holiday chaos. And we do that with one word. How we navigate that is through peace. Do y'all remember that? Peace. We talked about the word shalom, and we invited you to rethink peace. That peace is not a lack of war, but it is wholeness. And we told you that Jesus is either a piece of your life or Jesus is the peace of your life. I was told this week by one of our school teachers, Lupita, she said, Chris, that's called a homophone. Somebody say homophone. That's when you have two words that sound the same, but they mean different things. The idea of peace versus peace. We may have another homophone later tonight. But we told you to focus this holiday season on wholeness. In this series, we've already lit the candles of hope and peace. And now, with your help, Robert, we're going to light the candle of joy. A very traditional Advent idea are these candles, that they light them in a certain order to remember Jesus Christ. And they start with hope. They start with peace. Thank goodness that lit or the whole day would be ruined. Just kidding. No, we'd be great. We were hoping it would, let's all be joyful because it did. We can have peace because it did. But the color is, notice the joy candle is a different color. I looked into that this week. Why is the joy candle different? And it's because the other candles represent things that happen all the time that are a little dark. You have to hope through dark times. You have to have peace in the middle of struggle. But there is a transforming thing that happens when joy arrives. And that's why it is a different color. How many know that when joy arrives, rooms change, families change, hearts change, everything changes when joy arrives. Today, we're going to title this message, Rediscover Simple Fun. Everybody say, Rediscover Simple Fun. Now, before we get to the good stuff, let's talk about the bad stuff. You've been living with it all week, so we got to talk about it. The world is awfully complicated. How complicated? Well, just like this week, right? Every time I come up to you and I touch a little bit of what's going on in the news, it's always crazy. And it's been crazy. They found the shooter. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say the shooter. There was a shooter last week, the week before last week, that just out in broad daylight shot a CEO of an insurance company. And he shoots him and kills him and then hops on a scooter and drives into Central Park. And we're like, who was this guy? Well, this week they found the guy. And so it's like, all right, hooray, not so fast. Now it's led to questions like this. Is murder okay if we don't like the guy that was killed? And it's like, what is going on there? And that's like really wild. If you're like, man, I'm glad they caught the person. No, I've actually seen other people go, you know what? Whoever turned him in at that McDonald's, they should be fired immediately. And it's like, what? It's a weird time. Somebody say it's weird, man. It's complicated. What will happen this week in the news? IDK. You know what IDK means? I don't know either. I don't know. It means I don't know. IDK means I don't know. But I bet that whatever happens this week, it's probably complicated. Look at somebody and say, it's probably complicated. Israel-Palestine, somebody say, it's complicated. Immigration changes, somebody say, it's complicated. Personal life, somebody say, it's complicated. Oh man, I might shake my hand on that one. Health is complicated. Your career, hopes and dreams, it's all complicated. So with this constant complication, Merry Christmas? Do we say Merry Christmas? How is it a Merry Christmas with all this, whoa, heavy stuff that we're handling all the time. I want to ask you, can you imagine a world that's not complicated? I got to tell you, I have trouble imagining a world that's not complicated. Well, can you imagine a world with joy? And I sometimes have struggle with imagining that world. But we're going to imagine a world that is far less complicated. And joy comes into the middle of the world. I want to talk to you about a very uncomplicated toy. It is the Fisher-Price Crazy Combo. Let's hear it up for the Fisher-Price Crazy Combo. Y'all are like, what's going on? I'm not going to clap for that. What are you talking about? What is this thing? It is plastic. It's just plastic. There's no battery. There's no app. You didn't have to download an app to play on the Crazy Combo. There was no monthly subscription. I don't know. Let's just stop for a moment. I've had it with the monthly subscriptions for every single thing. Somebody preach with me for a second. I've had it with those monthly subscriptions. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't have a monthly subscription? A subscription service? Oh, that would be terrible. Listen, this was such a simple toy. It's just plastic, and you just put it together, and there was like a little whistle, and one of the pieces was a slide whistle, and you could actually have two things to blow into this and make lots of racket and sound. I don't know if it actually played pitch very well. I never got much pitch out of it, but I want you to know, I opened this one Christmas in the 80s, and it was awesome. It was just so great. I thought this week, I thought about what are some of my favorite gifts. And I got to tell you, this is probably my favorite gift that I've ever received. What's wild about the story is what I'm about to tell you. I had actually received this gift, the exact gift, months earlier. My mom got it for me like in September. And I played on that thing in September. August comes before September, October. I'll get my months eventually. October came, I'm playing that thing. November came, I'm playing that thing. December 24th comes. And under that tree, I pick out the biggest box there. And I opened it. And it was the exact Crazy Combo I had been playing with all these months. Yeah, that's called re-gifting. My mom just re-gifted the same thing, right? And I want you to know, there was not even a little bit of me that was disappointed. I was like, it's that gift that I love. There it is, all over again. I know I love this thing. It's so good. And it was like, I was like 6 years old, right? 5 years old. And I remember, I just replayed that in my mind. It was like receiving the gift all over again. It was so simple. There was not part of me that said, what do you mean you're listen, sister, you don't get off that easy. No, no, it was absolutely pure joy. I bet you have a Christmas memory that's somewhat like this, where it's simple, where it's happy, and it's fun. I bet it also feels a little too distant. I bet it feels a little too far ago. Growing up, we've somehow transformed Christmas from a moment of pure wonder to a complex algorithm of expectation, performance, and exhaustion. And it's not so happy. It's not joyful. There's scorekeeping involved. There are things like, well, you got me that already, kind of things that go through our hearts. Statistics, we've read a lot of them. Here's some reminder. 2/3 of people report major stress. In fact, they say that they are more stressful than joyful this time of year. That spending is over $1,000 per person on average, it was like 1,700. I hate that stat. That is crazy. When you look at like police reports, domestic disputes spike 35% during Christmas. Yow, yikes. Divorce rates, we know that they're on the increase. We've traded joy for stress and celebration for complication. I'm going to say that again. We've traded joy for stress and celebration for complication. If only there was a different way. But there's not. I'll see y'all guys next week. No. Aren't you glad that there is another way? And to do that, to get to that, let's go back to the original story. Let's go back to the OG Christmas. Somebody say OG Christmas. I think that means original gangster Christmas. I don't know. I don't know. I use terms I don't even know, and that's how I get in trouble, everyone. Pray for your pastor. All right. So we're going to go back to that original story. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. It's actually, we're going to go straight to our scripture memory verse for the month. And the backstory is this, that you have shepherds working a night shift, and boom, you have angels, and you have God's glory present. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" So we just read that. And I want to know, did you notice anything? Does anything stand out? And you could go like, it's so open-ended. You could come into a lot of directions with what you might have noticed there. But I hope you noticed that joy is present. And that it's not very complex. It's not after a series of forms that you sign and you get all the numbers. And what, honey, what is your social security number again? All right, yeah, write that down. And what was your maiden name? And write all these things down, right? No, not complicated. Simple. Somebody say simple joy. Good news was announced, and it reads interesting. It says it caused great joy. Joy here is so simple. Life is complex, but joy is simple. Life for the shepherds was complex. You know, being a shepherd was not a popular profession. You got no respect, Rodney Dangerfield quote, no respect at all, right? That you were never respected as a shepherd, right? There's many patterns of that. In Egypt, the shepherds were hated the most of all because they were viewed as despicable because they're around sheep all the time. And when David was when David's family was visited by the prophet to find a king, you know, who wasn't invited, the one that was the shepherd, the one that was on the back edges of town. And nobody that was a kingly or a governor ever went and visited the shepherds. No respect at all. In fact, let's get real with here. It was kind of an oddball profession. Unlike the other professions out there, you just put people in a stable, you let them out, you let them run back in later in the day. But shepherds have to be with the sheep. And so they end up smelling like the sheep, and they begin thinking like the sheep. And it's weird that the sheep become so attached to them that they follow the shepherd. It's kind of a weird profession. Their life was very complex. They were not wealthy, but they had the high calling of being a shepherd. Now let's go to the nation. All of Israel was under the tyrannical rule of Roman government. You talk about complex. It was really complex. In fact, they were in the midst of a census where they had to drop everything they were doing and actually travel to the place of their original birth. And that causes Mary and Joseph, who were in Nazareth, to drop everything and load up a donkey and travel down south to his hometown. Joseph's hometown was a place called Bethlehem. What a complex time being forced to do all of that. Religion was complex. You had all these different groups that all believed a little different. Thank goodness it's not like that today with Christianity. Wow, isn't it? But let's go back to this time. You had Pharisees, you had Sadducees, and you had Essenes. And none of them got along. They were all at each other's throat all the time. Religion was complex. And then life in general was complex. But right here, in the middle of all that complexity, the simple good news causes joy to happen. A Savior has been born. And He is nearby. That's what the shepherds receive. A Savior has been born, and you know, He's not very far from here. It's just a little bit of a walk, and we can get to Bethlehem and find this child. Then more angels show up, and then they begin to sing. I would really have loved to experience that. Don't you think that was a wow moment? One angel shows up, but now the whole sky is filled with angels, and they're all singing, and they're all declaring the glory of God. Luke chapter 2:15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." What amazing news. It's so amazing that I think we should check it out. That's what's happening here. A Savior in Bethlehem, that's not that far away. So, hey, let's go. I imagine someone had to stay with the sheep, but the rest of them went to Bethlehem to see this thing. It's so simple. I heard this good news, and I'm going to go check it out. That happens with you all the time. Your friend says, "Hey, I found a great restaurant." And you're like, "I can't wait." And the first thing you're like, "Honey, taking you out tonight to the restaurant." Right? Or you hear about a good movie and you go see that movie, or the latest show on TV, or you hear about anything, a party, and you're really quick to go check it out. That's what happens here, except it's grander than all of those things. It's angels, supernatural beings saying a supernatural Savior has come and He's not far from you. And of all the people to be told this story, it was those oddball shepherds. It was those shepherds that nobody thought a lot about the shepherds. But angels visited them first. So they hear the message and they go experience. So let's read about that. Verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The manger, of course, is what? It's a trough that you would feed animals out of. It's a trough that you would lift off the ground a little bit and put hay in it. And you had cows that would come eat out of this. You would have camels come eat out of this trough. If they had horses, they would come and eat out of this trough. But instead of hay, the Savior, Jesus Christ, is laying in a manger as though it's a makeshift cradle. Verse 17, when they had seen Him, when the shepherds had seen who? Jesus, this child in a manger. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What's happening? They've received a joyous message. It's caused joy in them. They go check it out, and now they're sharing the message, and they are spreading the joy. I've got three lessons of joy from this story. Very quickly, let's hit them. Number one, joy is caused. Joy is caused. You don't just have joy. Something happens that causes joy. The angel said the good news will cause great joy to all the people. Joy does not just happen. Something causes it. I want to ask you these two questions. What causes joy for you? A better question is this one. Who causes joy for you? I'm telling you, whatever that is for you, you need to find that and respect it and honor it. And you should listen to me. Tell them that they bring joy to you. We need to, in this season, find some people that cause joy in our life. And we just need to say, hey, you bring me so much joy. I am so happy. You don't have to give me one gift for me to be happy. You just cause joy to exist and appear in my life. Listen to me. You in this room, you cause me great joy. Your victories give me great joy. When you get baptized, it's like when I get baptized. When you're healed, it's like I was healed. When you grow close to God and see God working in your life, I get so excited and I get so joyful about it. Look at you. Look at you. You cause me joy. That's number one. Joy is cause. Number two, joy is presence, not presence. What's that? Lupita? Lupita, what was that? That's called a homophone, right? That is two different words. Presence and then presence. The presence of a person. The close proximity of another, that's presence. And then you've got gifts, like the ones you wrap and you put under the tree. That kind of presence. I want to tell you that in this story, central to this holiday, central to this time, is the news, the good news of the presence of a Savior. When the angels announced Jesus' birth, not one time did they mention perfect decorations. Good news. I'm going to tell you good news. But first, have you hung up your wreath and your stocking? No, no. There is no mention of expensive gifts. Right? There is no flawless family photos, which I am pretty sure do not exist. Unless it's Sarah holding that baby, then we can't take a bad one. It's just all really good. Right? Or Instagram-worthy moments. Everyone stop, stop, stop. I got to pull out my phone. We got to put it on video. I got to log in. Oh, wait. It's too key authentication. I've got a dear. Do you have that code? Did they just text you that code? 2453. Oh, right, got it in. All right, now do the thing. Oh my gosh, Instagram. Anybody ever experienced that? Am I the only ones? Not one time did he say, "Make sure you get an Instagram-worthy picture of this." No, there's nothing like that. Instead, it's all about the presence, baby, not the gift. The presence of the Savior. The presence of the Savior is what we need to value. We need to value the presence of others more than the presence under the tree. The gifts are great. We love the gifts. Gifts are good, but people are better. And that's what the Christmas message is all about. In fact, later in the story, wise men come with gifts. And there's some prophetic symbolism about that, and that's really cool. But Jesus didn't come to just get those gifts. He came to save people that were lost. He came to heal people that were sick. He came to feed people that were hungry. And the presence of the Almighty Lord walks in, and it changes lives. It's about the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, you need to value the presence of Jesus during this holiday season. You need to value the fact that the great God was born in a manger. That he came to us. He walked on just dusty roads. And he gave his life on the cross. And he rose again. And he's not just gone. He lives within us. And one day he will return. And we're going to live with him forever. Who's excited about that presence of the Lord? That should bring joy to you. Now, let me also tell you that you need to value the presence of your family. You need to value the presence of your friends, your loved ones, other people that are around you. Take a moment. Oh, Y'all, don't push back. Don't kill the messenger. But you might even value the presence of the boss you don't like for a moment. And you might need to say, hey, I'm so glad I work here with you. Right? Cool. That doesn't mean it's always simple. No, you can have joy in the middle of complication, right? So you might take a moment and tell somebody, I value your presence. Don't you dare go anywhere, because you, in this presence, you being in my proximity is a good thing that gives me joy. The presence of the Savior, the presence of our family and friends. Before I move on this point, number two, joy's presence, not presence. If we're not careful, we won't value each other's presence. And there's always a hardship with teenagers sometimes, or young people, and they want to be on their phone, or they want to be on their screen, or they want to be with their friends off somewhere, or they just want to be somewhere else. Can I speak to you young people for a second? You need to value the presence of people, especially the people that God has put in your life. And you need to be able to tell them, I'm glad you're in my life. Somebody say amen. Thank you. All right. Gosh, that got awkwardly quiet. All right. Number three. Said joy's cause, joy's presence, not presence. Now number three. Joy can be shared. Joy can be shared. It is difficult to share gifts. There is a thing that happens when you have three boys in the house that all like video games. What you do is say, well, we don't need three Nintendo Switches. We don't need three Xboxes. We just need to get one. And they can share. How's that working for us? Pray for us. That is not working for us. We have three Nintendo Switches really quick in our house, right? It's difficult to share gifts, right? Or I could just say, you know, the gift I give my wife, you know, the outfit I buy her, it doesn't fit me very well. You would not like to see me share the dress that I got for my wife. It's not so easy to share gifts. But joy, that can be shared. Who shares joy in this story? An angel shares joy to shepherds. Then the shepherds share joy with others. And everybody in the story is blown away by the joyful news. The angels are excited. The shepherds are excited. And it says that the others, the shepherds told, they were amazed, it said. So two things. Let someone share joy with you. Let them. That means that you need to shut up for a moment and listen. All right, so that was for somebody right there. That was good. But you need to just be quiet for a moment and let them share joy with you. And if they share joy with you, you sure better return joy back to them. Let someone share joy with you, and then also share that joy with others. Now, there's all kinds of joy we could talk about. We talked about the coming of Christ in the world. My goodness, that would be a great joy to share with others, right? But also we could share the joy of being together, of having time. You know, we aren't promised another Christmas. There were some people that didn't make it to this year's Christmas. Let's be joyful for a moment that we have today and we are together again. Somehow the Lord in His grace and mercy has allowed us to be together again. Let's be happy about that. Let's be joyful about that. Even if you have lost someone in the last few years, be joyful that you had them. And be joyful that you have the people that you have right now. And together you can remember that wonderful person you lost, and be joyful and say these words. These are powerful words to say. Jesus, I thank you for them. I'm so glad that they were in my life. Somebody, for a moment, think about that person and say those words. Jesus, I'm so thankful that they were in my life. They were such good friends to me.
Deborah Peterson. She was such a good friend to me, and I'm so glad she was in my life. My friend Ackley, who passed away a few years ago. God, I'm so glad he was in my life. He was such a good friend to me. I'm so joyful that I had them. I'm sorrowful still that they aren't here today, but I'm joyful that you gave them to me. And I'm joyful that I get to have this time with others. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Musicians, I love you. Y'all come on up. I'm going to be closing. I'm going to be landing this plane. Here we go. I told you about my Fisher-Price crazy combo, right? Oh, man. That thing, I see it. I'm like, yep, that's what it looked like. It all fit in that little trunk there. And so I'd put it all in my trunk, and I'd walk around everywhere with that trunk. It was like I was a gigging musician at the age of 5. It was so good. We'd say, we're going to grandma's? Wait a second, I got to go get it and bless grandma with my crazy combo playing. Loved it. That thing would open up and they'd all fit in there. It's so good. I told you that how happy I was when I received this gift. And I told you that I had already played with it. I had already opened it. I had already handled all the merchandise of it. But opening it on that Christmas did something so great in me. I was like, I already know I love this. Mom, it's so good that I get to open it again. And I told you this sentence, and I really want you to latch on it as we're focusing at the end of this sermon. It was like receiving the gift all over again. What would it be like for us to receive the gift all over again? There is this supernatural phenomenon. I think it's supernatural. It's not a good supernatural. But do you remember when you got the job? How thankful you were. And maybe after some months, maybe after a few years, that job you prayed for, that job you told others to pray for, and you got the call and you got the job and you were so happy. But now it's been some time, and so now you get up on a Monday angry. Okay, am I preaching to anybody? And you, what happened? What if you could receive the gift of that job all over again? Or maybe a house, or a car, or an apartment, or an outfit, or a phone, or whatever it is that you receive. Like you have it for a while, and after a while, you're like, you don't respect it. You take it for granted. It falls into an expectation trap, and you don't rejoice over it. Can you just think for a moment what life would be like if you woke up every morning receiving the goodness of God like it was the first time all over again? The Bible says that He has a mercy for us that's new every morning. And we come to church here, and maybe there was that one time you had that real wonderful experience with God. You gave your life to Jesus. You repented, and you felt so clean inside. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When I talk about you feel clean inside your heart, and you feel forgiven, and you felt that, and you were baptized, and you had an experience with His Spirit. You remember that? Oh, if we're not careful, that'll just become an old relic. That'll just become an old story. I want to ask you, what would it be like for you to receive that gift all over again? I no longer have this crazy combo. This week especially, I thought about, man, how did I get rid of that? I wish I had that. I wish I could play really bad jazz on that. I don't have that crazy combo. I can't open that thing and use those little curly things to like almost point the horn right back at my face when I play. That was one of my favorite things to do. It's like I point it right back at my face and blow as loud as I can. I can't do any of that. But you know what I can do? I can relive the simple joy of the first time to second time I opened it and received it. And it's like even today,
I think, and I'm going to call my mom this week and say, hey, you know what I preached on Sunday? I preached about the Fisher Price. Crazy combo. Thank you for both times you gave it to me. Thank you for giving it to me on September. Thank you for giving it to me on December 24th. And thank you for all that you've given me, Mom. You have already received the gift of Jesus, I hope, in this place. If you've never received that gift before, oh, that gift is for you. I want you to receive it. But I want to put that in a heart today, to receive that gift all over again. I told you life is complex, but joy is simple. And this is what worship does. It's so simple. It's just singing some words. It's clapping your hands. It's looking up to heaven. Singing to a person you don't even see. It's invisible. But that's so simple and it's joyful. And prayer is like that. You are praying to a person you've never seen. And it's so kind of different. But it's simple. And I'm telling you, it's joyful. Reading the story that's in your Bible about Jesus coming to earth. You ought to do that. It's really pretty simple. And let it be brand new, like you're reading it for the first time. For some of us, that will be the first time we've ever read it. But let yourself have joy. And if you've never read it, I want to invite you to ask someone else who has read it to read it with you. And that you could share that joy together. My God. And then you have that story in you. You're worshiping Him. You're praying to Him. You've got the Word in you. Now you know what would be really good is to share that story with someone else. Share that joy. I remember a time in my life where I was depressed. But the love of Jesus came. And I had such joy. And He brought laughter where I had only tears. And He did that for me. That's me sharing my story. What's your story? Share it with someone this week. Do that this week. Would you stand all over this place? They're about to play some music. We can worship and pray together. But I've got some things I really want you to focus on. If you'd stand with me, I'd love it. It's our call to action. I've got three things. Number one, I want you to choose presence. Prioritize being fully present over perfection. Instead of having the perfect house, instead of having the perfect Instagram post, focus on being fully present. In fact, you can't be fully present if you're staring at your phone. Go ahead and put it down. Somebody clap for that because that's good info. Our phones are killing us. And then receive that presence and then give that presence to someone else. There might be someone in need of help. Give your presence to them. There might be somebody that's lonely. Give your presence to them. Number two, simplify and share. Drop one stressful holiday tradition that doesn't bring you genuine joy. Just drop it. You can try it another time, but not today, Satan. We're not doing that this week. We're not doing that this year. I'm going to drop this holiday tradition that's driving me crazy. And I'm going to instead focus on something that brings me joy. And then share the message. So there's simplify. Here's the share. Share the message that causes you joy. Now listen, don't share the part of the message, Layla, that brings me joy. Share the part of the message that brings you joy. Be authentic about it. Be authentic. You know, if there's something in this service that brought you real joy tonight, share that with somebody else. If God has answered a prayer and that brings you joy, share that with someone else. If I read as part of a scripture, and if it was just even a small little portion of a scripture, but it brought you joy, get ready to quote that part of the scripture to somebody and say, hey, yesterday I read this and it brought me joy. Share and simplify. And then number three, receive the gift all over again. Fisher Price. Crazy combo. As good as that gift was, the gift of Jesus Christ is the best gift. Receive it all over again. Here's a way to receive it all over again as we're ending very quick. We can pray and worship. And that's like receiving it all over again. You could pray to the one who was born in that manger. And you can worship the one who was born in that manger. You can do that right now. You can do that later this week. But I challenge you to do that. Sing as they're singing. Close your eyes and pray as they're singing. Do that. And then this one. This one's kind of special. You see that says scan me? Everybody pull out your phone right now. Pull out your phone right now and scan that right now. Singers, if you can come over here. Come on. If you need to scan that, scan that. Because that gives you a Christmas reading plan that's only 5 days long. And it's really short. And it's all about Jesus. And it's going to help you receive the gift all over again. It's going to take you to a YouVersion or a Bible app page. It's on a website. And it's going to give you a 5-day plan. You can do that. 5 days. And it's just, it's not long. And you're just, it's going to take you through the story in a short amount of time. And it's going to allow you to focus on that story and to receive it all over again. Those are the three things I want you to do right now and this week. Can you put that back up? If you want to take a picture of that so you remember it later this week, that's great also. These altars are open right now. Why don't you come right now? If you need prayer in your life, if you need joy in your life, why don't you come right now and help us, God, in Jesus' name. Somebody's having trouble with their phone. Help them with that phone. There we go. Isn't this good? We're all helping each other. These altars are open right now. Why don't you come pray? Let's pray together. Let's worship together. Let's receive the gift all over again. As they're starting, I'm going to pray for everybody online. Father, in Jesus' name, touch our friends online. Lord, bless them, God. Bring them closer to you, God. Bring them into your presence, God. Help us, God, to receive the gift all over again. Help us to simplify all the distracting stuff. And God, help us to share what's really important. Help us to rejoice in your presence right now and rejoice in the presence of others. Friends, right now, if you've got someone with you, celebrate their presence. I want to tell you that Jesus is in the room with you. Celebrate his presence. Let's do it right now in this place. Let's reach out to him. Let's start this music. Let's rejoice together. Let's do it. Let's have joy in this place in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.